In the morning, Gitmo Nation, thank you for joining me once again for Just Getting By with Sir Craig and Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
In the morning, Craig.
How are you doing this beautiful, beautiful, but sweltering hot Friday?
It's Friday? What the fuck?
I know, time really flies when we're having fun, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah, it's a hell of a day out, too. It's very hot, very humid.
Oh, it's cool in my room.
Oh, that's good. That's always what we want to hear. All right, so Friday is the end of the week. We get to talk about technology and a little bit more off-the-wall stories. So let's get this show on the road. I think you are going to be starting us off this week, aren't you, Chemslave?
Yes. So, without further ado, whatever you do, do not eat hot dogs. You're going to die.
Well, I think we kind of already knew that, didn't we? I mean, do you know what the hell is in a hot dog? I don't think anybody does. I mean, can you just imagine the crap that's in a hot dog?
It's so fucking tasty, though.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, no, I'm just joking. No, go ahead, tell me what this is all about.
A nonprofit group called Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicines... says that the processed meat in hot dogs carries a cancer risk on par with cigarettes.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a really knowledgeable group.
Yep.
There's nothing at all controversial about these people, huh?
No, not really.
Nope. No conflict of interest in this study, right?
No, they're just vegans.
Yeah, so that means that they eat hot dogs all day long. Isn't that right?
Actually, I think the definition of vegan means not eating any meat products at all. Even milk is a no-no.
Except for hot dogs.
No, I don't think they're allowed to eat hot dogs either, Craig.
They have to because. They did a study condemning hot dogs, and if their whole worldview was to not eat things like hot dogs, that would be kind of a conflict of interest, wouldn't it? So they can't be doing that, right? No, there's got to be...
But it's not a conflict of interest, Craig.
No.
Not at all.
So, I'm a little bit at a loss here. So why don't you go through this for me, so you can explain it to me.
Well, according to them, the processed meat used in hot dogs can increase your risk of colorectal cancer by 21%. Holy shit, 21%, we're all going to get colorectal cancer.
Or at least 21% of us will.
Yes. Actually, no. That's a bullshit number.
Really?
Yes. Because your risk of getting colorectal cancer is 5%. So a 21% increase will increase it to around 6%. So really, 1% increase in total.
Huh. Wouldn't that be a 100% increase?
No, from 5 to 6, 21% of 5% is about 1, give or take a few thousandths of a percent. So adding that into 5% makes it 6%. So it's almost nothing.
Huh. I guess there's a reason why I'm not a mathematician.
No, yeah. Mathematics is the greatest way to screw with people's minds.
Yeah.
You can just take one number and figure out a way how to finagle it to say something completely else than what it actually says.
Oh, well, there is a big, big industry in statistics and demography to confuse people. I mean, any sort of study... with numbers. Politicians do this all the time. Companies do this all the time. Anybody who has an agenda to push has some sort of study. with some bullshit finding. You can't trust any of these people. But this seems to be a pretty intense conflict of interest.
Yeah, you vegans talking about how you shouldn't eat meat. Yeah, of course it's a conflict of interest, Craig.
So, we should still believe the study, right?
I wouldn't. If there's this great conflict of interest just sort of says, yeah, you should probably maybe say, okay, well, hot dogs are not safe. Or that's one of those no-shit things. All the crap that's in them, all the sodium.
But
you shouldn't be eating them all day, every day, but doesn't mean you should stop eating them just because some group of nut jobs says you shouldn't.
But the study says we should.
Do you believe every single study that comes out, Craig?
Well, of course. But, why shouldn't I?
Because you should actually look who's running the study, who's paying for the study.
I'm sorry. I'm just fucking with you. I know. This is total bullshit. Was it this article or was it another one that they had other medical opinions, like the American Medical Association and other people saying that this was also total bullshit?
It is this article too that. Yeah. That they assert that it's just distortion of the facts.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to keep this in mind. There are organization after organization after organization that will do nothing more than just try to lie themselves into a public relations victory. And this is an example of that. Getting the idea in your head that one of your favorite meals, or maybe not meal, but one of your favorite things to eat is going to kill you. That is a meme that you have seen perpetrated all throughout the modern era. You had that awful Super Size Me documentary. That's another example of this. But of course, he wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a group of doctors, so I think in this case, this is a more egregious thing, because these are medical practitioners who are basically lying to the populace. But still, it fits into the same running theme.
Oh, it fits more than you would think.
Why?
Morgan Spurlock's girlfriend, I don't know if, at least during the filming of that show, is a vegan.
And who is Morgan Spurlock?
The documentarian who made Super Size Me.
Yep. And his girlfriend was a vegan. Yep. Isn't that fantastic?
Isn't that a conflict of interest?
Oh yeah. Yep. Although that's I guess that's a little bit unfair. That's kind of like a guilt by association type of thing.
Yeah, but still.
I mean,
and then force him onto a vegan diet after he stopped eating.
Well, he gained like 200 pounds, didn't he? How much did he gain by the end of that? It was a lot of weight.
It was a lot of weight. I don't think it was 200 pounds, but it was probably around 30, 40, 50, maybe. I don't know.
Really, was that low? I thought he went at least into the triple digits.
Maybe.
You know, I might be thinking of his overall weight.
His overall weight wasn't a triple digits, of course.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I might be thinking of his overall weight.
Because
yeah.
I don't think it was his increase in weight was that large. I'd have to rewatch the show.
He didn't look good. You could tell he gained weight. I mean, that was a man who should not gain weight. Some people can carry weight semi well, but he was not one of them. So, you know, this is just bullshit, and it's good when we can point out bullshit like this. And it's good when news organizations don't try to pull the wool over your eyes and also help you pull out the bullshit. Who did this story?
I don't think I would call them a news organization, because I got this off of Gizmodo.
Gizmodo? It was a USA Today story.
Yes, but I read the tech blogs.
You know, you do nothing but bitch and moan to me when I do a tech story, and yet you claim to be a techie and read these tech blogs. But when I start talking about technology, you get all hot and bothered.
Because sometimes you pontificate on things that require maybe a bit less airtime than you give them.
I don't talk that much. Yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the thanks I get. I'm sitting here every Sunday trying to do my best to have a nice show. And Kemslave over here is constantly putting me down. You know, I'm gonna start to develop like a complex because of you.
I think you already have a complex.
I might.
Or you have a bigger ego than you need to, so I'm there just to sort of tone it down.
Ouch! Burn! What an asshole! Fine, fuck you! Oh my god! You know, fine, we're done with your story. You can go fuck yourself. You know, if you can go fuck yourself with a hot dog, how about that? My god!
Is it frozen? If it is, I'll try it.
All right, so for your benefit, I'm going to leave that alone. So, we have a technology story just to piss off Chemslave. And it... Did you break a bottle?
No, I just finished my beer and I put the cap into the bottle.
Ah, okay. So anyway, this is not an Apple story, as my tech stories tend to be. This is actually the exact opposite of an Apple story. It's not a Microsoft story, however. It is an Amazon story. But Amazon is going to be releasing a 7-inch touch screen tablet. They're going to be calling it the, creatively enough, the Amazon Kindle. It's just going to be a new Kindle. And it's going to run Android. It's not going to be a Google Android, however. It's going to be a Android 2.2 Android, and it's going to be totally customized and skinned by Amazon, and they are going to remove every trace of Google from that operating system, except for the default search in the browser. That's still Google. But aside from that, everything else, the Gmail application, the Android Marketplace, it's all gone. It's all gone.
I'm slightly excited for this.
I am too, because in its place, they have everything in the Amazon ecosystem. Amazon has their own Android Marketplace. They have their Kindle bookstore. They have their instant videos. And if you are an Amazon Prime member, you have access to an ever-growing Netflix-like library of video that you'll be able to get on that device built in. You know, I'm sure they're going to find some way to have the full, you know, like Amazon, you know, shop, you know, experience built in to the device. I think this has the potential to be a game-changing device. And I see this not so much as a replacement for an iPad, but as a direct competitor to the Nook Color. For those of you that don't know what a Nook Color is, Barnes & Noble has an e-reading device of its own called the Nook. Originally, it was an e-ink display. As a matter of fact, it was the exact same e-ink display that was in the Kindle. But they released a new Nook, the Nook Color, which was an Android tablet that had access to their own proprietary app store as well. And it was actually a fairly decent little tablet. It was quite nice. It's gotten huge traction in the modding community. People have put Honeycomb on that. And it's a cool little device. It's a nice-looking little device.
Do people actually use it, though?
Yeah. Yeah, Barnes & Noble has been selling them in droves. And it's thought of relatively nicely. The Nook Color is really a nice product. It's $250. It's no iPad. It's not supposed to be an iPad, though, and people typically don't treat it as an iPad. Like I said, some people, you know, can put Android 3.0 on it, but that's like for hardcore techies, and you know, they know enough not to expect fantastic results from that. But anyway, so yeah, the Nook Color is the one that's going to really take it in the shorts because of this. I'm really excited about this Amazon Kindle. Now, we know all this because TechCrunch writer extraordinaire M.G. Siegler actually held one in his hand and played around with it. And I am really excited because he said that it looked a lot like the BlackBerry Playbook. Now, for those of you that can't visualize it, the BlackBerry Playbook is a steaming pile of shit. It's terrible. But one of the few good things about it was the industrial design. It's a 7-inch black kind of at times brushed metal kind of look, but it is a hot little device. It looks quite nice. And evidently this new Kindle is highly reminiscent of the BlackBerry Playbook. So if they have that look and that industrial design quality coupled with what sounds like a fantastic user experience, I'm pretty much excited. Now, this is going to be primarily a reading device with access to email and the web, but most importantly, the Amazon services. Like, the music application will be the cloud music player. Their video application will be their video player. Their application store is going to be literally their application store. Their book reader is obviously going to be the Kindle app on the Kindle device. It sounds like it's going to be a nice UI as well. Doesn't sound like it's going to be heavily oriented towards applications. It sounds like it's going to be oriented towards books and media. So, again, I don't see this as a competitor to the iPad. A lot of people always said that the Kindle as it exists right now is cheap enough and different enough a product that you can get one to supplement an iPad. And that's what I do, actually. I have an iPad. I use it every day. I love it. But I have a Kindle that I use for my long-form reading novels. And I could see myself doing that with this device as well, with one glaring exception. And that is the screen. The Kindle, as it exists right now, has that non-backlit e-ink screen that is very slow to refresh, but it's also very cheap to make, and it's very easy on the eyes.
Isn't it also easier to read when you're outside?
Absolutely. Provided you have enough light. But yes, oh my god. In direct sunlight, it is the best reading experience you will ever have. Whereas the iPad, or any LCD backlit display, it gets washed out. Oh yeah, well, it won't blind you, but it gets washed out, and it gets, the screen gets dark, actually. And it's just, you know, not optimal at all. And the iPad has glare issues as well. And the Kindle has like a frosty kind of sheen to it that doesn't allow for a lot of glare, at least. So anyway, this new Kindle that comes out is going to start to have the issues associated with backlit displays. Backlit capacitive touchscreen displays. That being shiny displays that cast a lot of glare and lack of readability in the sun. But for me, personally, that's not a big issue for me. So I'm not too freaked out by that. And I am so tied into the Amazon ecosystem. I can see myself really making use of this tablet. And I use a lot of the iPad applications, so I personally will not find my iPad use restricted at all. But for some people, I think this will end up being a much better choice for a tablet than an iPad, because an iPad is bigger, it's twice as expensive. I haven't mentioned this, but this Kindle is supposed to come out for $250. And not only that, but MG also says that if you buy this tablet, you'll get Amazon Prime for free.
That's a great incentive to buy, because Prime cost like $80?
It costs $70, but they have a lot of ways to get it for less than that. If you have a valid school email address, any email address that ends with .edu, you can get a free version of Amazon Prime that doesn't give you access to the videos or anything, but it does give you access to the 2-day free shipping and the 1-day $5 shipping. But you can also pay $40 and get the full Prime as a student for a year. But yeah, so, and they have that same promotion for moms and dads, you know, parents. And I think for like small businesses as well. I mean, they have a lot of ways for you to get Prime and not pay the full $80 or $70. But even so, a lot of people probably still, you know, look at that and think, well, that would be nice to have. But if it's bundled with this fantastic tablet, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. That you're at least saving $40, possibly $70, you know. It ties you into the Apple... into the Amazon ecosystem. This is a genius move. And one that they should have done before now. But they must have been, you know, tweaking things. And I'm really excited. It's supposed to be released in November. So I'm expecting an October preview and announcement. Possibly to maybe compete with Apple for media press attention. Who knows? But anyway, so that's just something to keep an eye on. Go to TechCrunch, and they have it currently right now, at least. It's towards the top of the page. They have it kind of pinned up there. It's a big story. And it's a long post. MG goes through, with painstaking detail, the UI and the build quality. He is very impressed. Very, very impressed. And I am quite hopeful that this will be the first tablet, aside from an iPad, to really, you know, make an impact. Do you have anything to add about this?
Nope. I'll be really happy to see what it actually does and looks like. It's something that I might be tempted to get.
I definitely, from what I see, I think a lot of people are going to be tempted to get it. Even those people, like you, that were not totally sold on the tablet form factor. All right, so, I think we have just reached the end of our show and the end of the week. And what a magical week it has been. We have had the president's kind of faux State of the Union, look at me, I'm the president of the United States kind of joint session of Congress speech. That didn't go so hot, by the way, but we'll talk about that next week. We've had, you know, the run-up to the 9/11 anniversary things. We'll be talking about that again in the next few episodes as well. It's been a fun week, and I hope that you will join us for our analysis of that week. So anyway, if you liked this show, if you like any of the shows on the No Agenda stream, or if you'd just like to support John and Adam and their No Agenda show itself, please donate. They need your money. Go to Dvorak.org/NA or noagendanation.com to find out how to donate. And if you have any questions or feedback, any praise or criticism, we would love to hear it. Please email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. That is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And on that note, I will talk to you again on Monday. See ya.